Hey, fabulous people. This is Camille Forte, and thank you for tuning in. Very much appreciated. As always, time is not replaceable. Money is, so choose wisely. And thank you for spending some with us. And by us, I mean I have... Did you not hear I'm getting to that?
I know.
Mike's here. There's your intro for the week.
No.
The illustrious, the intelligent, the charming...
Apollo Creed. That's my name for the week.
Oh, now you're going by Apollo Creed.
Yes. And wait. Okay. Let's wait for the applause.
Okay, Apollo. So, with that, let's launch, you know. It's an interesting podcast because I want to tell you something that you may not know about social media. And I know it's like, what could there be that I don't know about social media? You may be thinking this. Well, things are always changing in social media. There is not a single blade of grass that grows under any of those platforms. And so with it being, I was sort of inspired to bring this to you because I saw a lot recently about Christmas in July. And we were actually in the car and I laughed and I said, Christmas in July, this is when people need to be putting together their marketing strategies for the holidays. And that's true. Notice, you know, just dropping that to you right there, you know, no matter what type of business you're in, whether you'll be selling or just cheering or whatever the case may be, now is the time to start planning for your holiday marketing strategy. But there's an important part of that that I think has been overlooked, not only by businesses, entrepreneurs, companies of all sizes, but also by marketers. And so that's really, it's about customer service and communication. So first, I just want to briefly touch on a few things about social that hopefully you're already aware of. And if you're not, just reach out, you know, send me a message. I'm a very easy person to find. You can reach me on any social platform, my website. Just feel free to reach out, you know, and tune into my other podcast because chances are I delivered a lot of value in one of the recent ones, and that may answer your question. But I'm always here to answer your questions. But a few things, let's just get out of the way. Especially if you heard my recent podcast about social media being the shortest distance between you and your target audience. That is number one that I want to touch on and get out of the way because, you know, we've already covered that. And it really is. I mean, you know, Facebook, it's not going anywhere, folks. It is still the most comprehensive advertising platform on the planet. There are still people out there who think that Facebook is not for B2B. And I'll be the first one to politely disagree with you because I'm doing that for clients as we speak. Also, SEO reasons. You know, people often think that SEO and social media are two separate facets of digital marketing, and today they're not. Social media results are actually being indexed faster by the search engines than websites. So you can do all the on-site optimization you want. It will never get you ranking as fast as social media activity. And in addition to that, the search engines are picking up social signals. And so that is sort of why SEO, social, and content marketing all have to go hand in hand. The other thing, reputation management. you know, here's a jaw dropper. One negative review can cost you up to 30 customers. Now, that is a broad generalization. It really depends on your price point, your specific product, and all that, but it should be enough of a generalization to let you know what the power is of reviews on social. And yes, things like Yelp and Angie's List and all those other review sites, they do count as social in a way, but more so toward reputation management. They're sort of that in-between kind of, you know, like...
the even ground.
Well, it's kind of like chocolate and vanilla swirl. They're definitely different, but they go together. Social media and reputation management.
Yeah, like you just talked about, like, search engine results and, you know, SEO. I mean, let's just take you for an example. You type in Camille Forte, your LinkedIn page comes up, your website comes up, your Facebook page, you know, your personal page. You know, for those that want to wonder how boring Camille is, go to her Facebook page. I'll give an example.
Sad but true.
I'll give an example of one thing. Pop Vinyl. For those that don't know me, I love wrestling. I'm a big wrestling fan.
Well, you come from a wrestling family.
Of course. You know, my family wrestles, and I'm not going to drop names, you know. But I was looking for a specific Pop Vinyl that was at the Comic-Con last week, and I just typed it in, and this was on the... Not Yahoo. No, I typed it in Yahoo just to play devil's advocate to see what will come up. I typed it in Bing, Yahoo, and Google, and all three of them came up with the exact first seven, you know, of the search engine were all the same listings.
Mm-hmm.
And social. All social, as well as the website, as well as their stores. And if they were running Google ads or Yahoo or Bing ads, those came up.
Right.
And just to play devil's advocate, I misspelled the name of the product I was looking for Pop Vinyl. And it came up with the correct one.
Yeah. Well, you know, search, I mean, if you don't know, artificial intelligence is pretty much what search is built on today. And it's insane. I mean, Alexa, if you have a digital assistant, do check out my podcast on voice search and how you have to optimize for voice search today. Amazon's Alexa can perform over 15,000 tasks. 15,000. And it doesn't even have a button on it.
She does have a button, but it's growing every day.
It is growing. Mm-hmm. Google is, Siri is, I think, still at about 350, but Alexa's up at 15,000 plus.
I mean, you know, again, not to go off topic, but with Alexa, I don't want to drop the name for people, you know, start, you know, trolling their device, but we could lock and unlock our car doors. We could now turn and on off our lights. We could actually hear our podcast.
Order food, yeah.
Uber, I mean, there's so much within the last 2 years. Keep that in mind for people that are listening. The last 24 months, voice, search has gone up from just a theory when Siri was created for the iPhone now to reality where Amazon is pushing their devices to be one in each room into your house.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to reputation, the one thing that I do want to bring up is the number of business people I see who say that, oh, I don't want to, you know, I don't think Facebook is my target audience, so we just don't go there. We don't build a page. Surprise, go on Facebook, look up your business, and I guarantee you will find at least one, if not two or three pages, because those pages can be made without you. If you're a business entity, if you have a location, if you have a website, users or Facebook itself can create a page for your business, and people could be leaving reviews left and right. And not necessarily glowing ones, but you'll have no idea about it.
May I chime in for a second about the Facebook thing?
Yeah.
excuse me. Facebook, this is something important you guys need to know, and I'm talking with my serious voice now.
That's a rarity.
It is. It's like, if you don't take control, even if you're someone that doesn't want to get on the Facebook bandwagon, if you don't take control of your business entity, someone else will, and will mask as you, and all of a sudden you're going to wonder, why have your sales dropped? Because someone could be digitally bad-mouthing you without you even knowing it.
Oh, yes. And I see this all the time. And people just have this sort of head in the sand perspective that, you know, if I don't look at it, it must have nothing to do with me. No, your business is on Facebook. It's just up to you whether or not you put it there or someone else did, and whether or not you're going to make the decision to claim whatever has been made and try to clean it up at this point. But what I really want to move into is communication and customer service. And I say those two separately because I don't want anyone to get confused and say, oh, well, we don't sell t-shirts, or we're not a restaurant, so, you know, we're not really concerned about reviews or answering messages or anything like that. They can call me. That is the most arrogant thing you can say in business, folks. They can call me, or they can email me. As I have said in podcast after podcast, you have to go where your people are, where your tribe is, as they call it in the marketing world. Why, I don't know. But where your target audience is, there's so much riding on it. And even if you are a global conglomerate of medical testing devices, and I mean this quite literally, I'm not going to be specific of why I know this, but even if you are in an obscure global company, people are still going to reach out to you on the platform that they're on. Now, that's already skipping the fact that a lot of people, over half, will look for your brand on social media before they leave and go to search for you on a search engine.
Interesting stat, 65% of men and women over the age of 55 that use their mobile device do not want to go to your website, but they would rather search you on social media so they could ask friends and family about your product or service.
Yes, and another thing that is really crazy is, you know, you may be thinking, well, what do their friends and family know about your brand? Well, that's another reason that you need to grab a hold of it on social media, because I think it is 77% of people trust reviews that even come from complete strangers. And for friends and family, that's in the 90s. You know, percentage of people who trust those online reviews. And so the majority of people are trusting what other people say about you. And it's, you know, have you ever been in one of those awkward situations where someone's bad-mouthing someone else and, you know, someone hopefully, you know, chimes in and says, well, you know, that person's not even really here to defend themselves. You're not going to get that benefit of the doubt on social media. And people have gotten rather demanding on social. And that's why, you know, that's what brings this topic to you today. Back in 2006, 68% of customers would not return to do business with you after a bad experience. Let's flash forward to 2011, 89% will never do business with you again. It's now 6 years later. That means no one is going to do business with you again if they have a negative experience. Now, a lot of times that will end up in the form of a review. And even though it's, I think on average, only 1 out of 10 at most will write a review on social media.
Actually, I have the statistic here. There's 1 out of 10 people, 7 out of 10 people will leave that don't write reviews. There's 7 out of 10 people will actually leave a bad review of your businesses or services or goods, versus out of only 1 out of every 15 that would actually leave a good review.
Oh, yes. Well, that's a big caveat, is that
like, you know, like a picture of yours on your business page or anything, but look at those numbers. 7 out of 10 people that normally don't write a review will go out of their way, whether it's on Angie's List or wherever you advertise, to write a bad experience, where only 1 out of 15 would write a good experience.
Yes, that is something that, you know, when reputation management started becoming an unavoidable topic in marketing, they realized that people who had bad experiences were exponentially more likely to hop on Facebook or Google or Yelp, or actually all of them, depending on how disgruntled they are. People who have bad experiences are a lot more likely to write a review than people who have good experiences. So again, you're swimming against the tide there.
And another note is that for your SEO, this is also important. And, you know, I forgot to give you these notes, Camille, my apologies. You know, it is 92% if you have a bad review about your goods or services that will show up on the search engine. So it is important to constantly just do updating. Don't think you're like, hey, I got somebody to write me SEO, he's an SEO guy, and you think you just leave it and walk away. No, this is SEO, like how Camille always says, is an evolving creature.
Oh, yes, all the time. And especially now with digital assistants, virtual assistants, you know, to hell with it. I'm going to set them all off. Your Google, your Siri, your Alexa, your, hey, Cortana. They all, when they look for businesses, when they look for anything, one of the very first things that they look for are reviews. And they can be from Yelp, they can be from Facebook, they can be from anywhere. But the point is are you going to be the one spearheading what people are reading about you? Because there is no invisible person who's going to appear on social media for you and say, no, don't talk about that brand or that business. They're not here to defend themselves. And so it can get pretty hairy. But here's the thing. A unique phenomenon has been creeping up and growing over the last few years, and it's come to the point where I really feel that social media has become mandatory. I mean, if all of the reasons that we just talked about weren't already enough to convince you that you have to be on social media to protect your reputation, to come up in search results, get traffic to your websites. I mean, there are so many reasons that social is already mandatory. But also, this growing trend that you may not know about yet is communication. When it comes to customer service, okay, just a couple years ago, you would call a 1-800 number. You would send an email to maybe support at, I'll use Ulta as an example. I do buy makeup.
Or we could use Nikon, like what we did recently.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, some of that's NDA, so let's just keep it with the makeup. Nice and simple, you know.
To clarify, she wears the makeup, not me.
You went to Berkeley, honey. I wouldn't talk too soon. That's another podcast right there. But anyway, so yes, I do buy makeup online from Ulta. And they've always had fabulous customer service. And a few months back, I actually had a negative customer experience. Yes, I went and I was looking for something specific. They set it aside for me, threw it in my bag before I even realized it, came home. They had actually put in an opened used lipstick in the bag. And a lot of you may be saying, yeah, what's the big deal? Yeah, that's actually a health hazard. That's pretty big. But the point is, I reached out to them on social media. And because I knew in the past, Ulta has been very responsive. They're on top of their game. They know that they need to get back to people on social media before it becomes negative reviews, either on social or on their actual website. Another one, if you're here in the Northeast, Wawa, you know, we all live and die by Wawa. Their customer service on social media is fabulous, but it's not just about negative or positive experiences anymore. It's not just about reputation management anymore, as if that wasn't enough of a reason. I have a friend who, he loves going to Havana a lot, loves the culture, the music, the food. He needed to change his flight. And apparently there was no customer service number for him to reach out to from within Cuba. Well, guess how he changed his flight? Through Twitter. And, you know, there are so many pages that I manage for clients where questions come through. And my point is that increasingly, and I mean huge, as in increasingly, people are communicating with brands on social media because it's convenient. It's thought-proof. They're already there. They don't want to go out of their way. And so they're going to send you a question. It may be a question about what you offer, maybe a question about pricing, maybe they want a quote. My point is, don't expect them to be going to your request a quote page in order to get that quote. They may be reaching out to you on social media. This is happening a lot. What else? Big things. He changed his flight. A client had some problems with advertising their Twitter ads. And it was funny. We filled out support ticket after support ticket, sent emails. Guess how I finally got in touch with them? I tweeted to Twitter. And that's how I finally got a hold of them. So the smarter companies are actually paying more attention to communication on social than the traditional contact us forms, because most people are never even getting to the contact us form pages. And I think the most important stat that I can share with you at this point is that in 2011, 50% of customers were giving brands on average a week to respond before never doing business with them again. Or if they hadn't already, they didn't do business with them at all. That was 50%, and that was in 2011. And as you can tell from all the other stats, all of these things are just increasing and growing over time. So if 6 years ago, 50% of people were willing to give you a week, just imagine, what would that be down to now? I'm thinking 3 days most. So if someone sends you a message on social media, you would be safe to bet on a 72-hour limit in which you have to get back to that customer or prospective client, whatever the case may be, or they will never do business with you.
May I point out, you know, like a quick checklist if you guys are listening. One you want to do is if you outsource your SEO or you have it in-house, you want to check before the holiday season starts or your busy season starts, where is your SEO when it comes to search results online? This is before you even touch your social media campaigns or even your social media site. Number two, if you have your own social media sites, your Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, check and do a report card check. Do a wellness check. You know, Camille always calls it a wellness check. Check to see what are people leaving feedback for. Where are your star ratings? Where is the positive stuff? Where is negative? For Amazon sellers, this is very important. Now that Alexa is now part of, you know, of Amazon's brand, make sure that your products and listings are as clear as possible. So if someone is searching for, you know, pineapple gummy bears, that you are coming up first. Yes, I do search for pineapple gummy bears and I have purchased them. But these are things that you want to check for. If you have a bad review, nip it in the butt. Don't hesitate. Even
there,
if
there's one thing I will disagree with you on there.
Pineapple gummy bears?
No. Get your social in check before your SEO.
Actually, I can't say I disagree with you. I agree with you on that. But as I'm looking at statistics that we've talked about, I'm seeing that older people that are decision makers, especially soccer moms. I hate using the word soccer mom. They're not playing soccer, you know. older people, especially with the holidays, especially grandparents, they're hitting social media before they're even hitting your website. They're not. There's some even that are bypassing your website and going straight to social media, and then from the social media, they're linking from social media, from a link that you posted to your store.
Exactly. That's exactly my point. And that's the entire point. And the fact is that when I was doing digital marketing back in 2009, people were statistically going to social media to look for brands before they were going to the search engines. Now, you know, search is still search. It's always going to be search. But the point is, Facebook is now also a search engine. And you know, there are still people who don't get that, don't, you know, grasp that.
Facebook is their own ecosystem. Yes. Not even a search engine, their own ecosystem that's tied into the world.
It truly is. And so I just want to, you know, really get that message out there. And like Michael was saying, do your auditing now when it comes to your social media profiles, your reputation, your on-site SEO, your off-site SEO, your content marketing. Now, in July, in August, these are the times to be gearing up for this. And I don't mean just thinking about it. I mean putting plans together. You know, timelines and milestones, because that is, you know, it takes longer to rank on the search engines. So you need to have that content cranking out now. It needs to be valuable or it's going to be lost in the sea of content we have these days. And it has to be on social, because if you don't put it on social, no one's ever going to know that it exists.
Can I give an interesting statistic?
Please.
The highest time when people are purchasing are from the, not on Black Friday, believe it or not, it's on Cyber Monday. The following Monday after Thanksgiving, all the way up to December 17th, when it's considered the final cutoff time to get packages by, you know, by Christmas and so forth. It's not saying that if you don't celebrate Christmas, whatnot, it's just that is the actual timeline where the busiest time of traffic online for social and for shopping is around between Cyber Monday to December 17th. Also, making sure, you know, Camille, adding on to what you were saying really, real quickly, title tags, you know, descriptions. One misspelling of one word could be the difference between a 5X sweater versus a 5S sweater.
Yes, definitely. And when it comes, whether it's gift guides to promote your products, whether it's just the personalization of your company over holiday time, get your plan in place now. And definitely optimize everything. You know, your social should be optimized. Everything should be optimized. SEO is not just about on-site title tags and descriptions now. It's every social media post. It's every blog. You name it. So that's the big thing, is that, you know, you could have a lot of people trying to communicate with you, or who will be trying to communicate with you on social, and if you are not there, they're gone. There are no second chances. There's no, hey, sorry, we didn't get your message until now. Sorry, you sent it a month ago. No, they're already gone. They've already bought from your competitor and sent their loyalty elsewhere, and you're no longer a consideration. Mm-hmm. So that is why, you know, it is mandatory. It really is, unless you don't mind losing a lot of money. And I guess the premise of this is that you don't want to lose business. You don't want to lose revenue, customers.
Think of it this way. Would it hurt your business to hire even a temporary employee to take 2 weeks to a month to do a full audit of your social media and your website SEO? Or can you afford to lose one full quarter, which is the busiest quarter of the year, worth of revenue?
So that's it, folks. I mean, when it comes to literally everything from your reputation to your revenue, all of your audience is social. So make sure that you are there. Make sure that you are taking this seriously. And, you know, please do not take the ostrich head in the sand approach of saying, well, I don't think that's for us, so we're not going to be there. Somebody else already put you there. You just don't know it. So grab it by the reins and start making it work for you instead of against you.
Agreed. And any questions about this, guys? Hit Camille up on hashtag Ask Camille.
Yeah. Sorry if this was a startling podcast, but, you know, I'd rather you know and prepare for it, and
we'd rather have you guys prepared for, you know, winter is coming,
mm-hmm,
than be stuck out in the cold.
And if this podcast did freak you out, reach out, you know, say, well, hey, what do I do? That's what I'm here for. So again, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for spending some time, and stay tuned for another fabulous podcast next week with the illustrious Mike.
Apollo Creed.
Oh, sorry. Apollo Creed. And of course, little old me, Camille.
Take care.
Thanks, everyone.